with your Spirit. Glory to you, O Lord.
When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is always special, but there's something particularly momentous about Christmas this year. It's taking place within the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy that Pope Francis and the Church began on December 8th, and it gives us a chance to appreciate even more profoundly what Christmas is about. When people talk about the reason for the season of Christmas, they're basically emphasizing that Christmas needs to be centered on Jesus Christ and not on tinsel-decorated pine tree or colorful wrapping paper or reindeers, sleigh, and elves. It's centered in Bethlehem, not in the North Pole or in the mall or in sports arenas. But as praiseworthy as those efforts to keep Christ in Christmas are, we also have to state that it's not sufficient or theologically precise merely to say that Jesus is the reason for the season. The real reason for the season of Christmas is not the person of Jesus, but what Jesus came into the world to do in us. That's the why behind the what of God's becoming man. And that's what this year of mercy helps us to ponder. The eternal Son of God entered the world and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, not to establish an annual season of generosity and giving, an opportunity for extended families to get together, or a gentle nudge to get many of us to return to church, as positive of all as all of these things are. What he came for is laid out for us in all its clarity in today's readings. Isaiah prophesies in today's passage from the Old Testament, "Say to daughter Zion, your Savior comes. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord." Jesus comes to rescue us in order to make us holy. Today's epistle to St. Titus, St. Paul makes the point even more emphatically. When the kindness and generous love of God, our Savior, appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, so that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. Jesus Christ is our Savior, who has come to redeem us in His mercy and make it possible for us to live in right relationship with God and receive the inheritance of all the saints. Compared to a Christmas tree full of big presents, that inheritance of all the saints is so much greater. This is what we mark in this year of mercy: God's merciful love and the response it's supposed to have in us. And those two poles are supposed to mark every major event throughout this church's year. But in Christmas, we see it so clearly. On Monday, Pope Francis stressed, "Christmas is truly the feast of God's infinite mercy." And on Christmas, we're called to relate to Jesus according to this abiding mercy. When we call upon Him, this is how He wants us to address Him. When we kneel down before the creche, this is what He wants us to pray for. And this point is made so clear in the two names Jesus given in St. Matthew's account of His birth, what we heard last night at the Vigil Mass. St. Matthew tells us that all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God became one of us, not just so that He could wave us high with a human hand and then scram. He came to be with us, to enter into an enduring relationship with us, to lead us toward that inheritance of the saints in light. And the specific type of relationship He wanted to form in us was indicated by the prophet Isaiah in last night's first reading, which is the first sacred scripture proclaimed for us on Christmas. Jesus came into this world to be with us mystically, to marry us. As a young man marries a virgin, God tells us through the prophet, so your builder will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The particular type of relationship God wants to form with us is spousal, a relationship that, as every married person here knows, radically impacts every aspect of life, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, in poverty and prosperity, all one's days. The first reason for the season of Christmas is for us to see that Jesus took on our flesh so that, in a sense, He could fall to human knees and ask us, will you marry me? Christmas isn't a fairy tale about events that happened long, long ago in a Middle Eastern cave. It's a love story, and it's taking place today, right here, on South Main Street in Acushnet. And all the angels and the saints are waiting to see how we're going to respond to Jesus' proposal to enter into a lifelong, indeed an eternal, covenant of love. Second complementary reason for this season is indicated by the other name we find in St. Matthew's Gospel. The angel tells St. Joseph in the dream, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, because it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Yeshua, what we translate in English as Joshua, which means God saves. Jesus has come indeed on a rescue mission. In order to be able to espouse us to Himself forever, He first needs to free us from slavery and the sure death to which that slavery leads. To call on the holy name of Jesus, to enter into a relationship with Him, is to regard and address Him with unending gratitude and love as the Redeemer who has come to save us from our sins. That's why Pope Francis says that Christmas is truly the feast of God's infinite mercy. That's what St. Paul means when he tells us today, because of His mercy, He saved us. That's what Isaiah stresses when he says, your Savior comes. That's what John the Baptist has been trying to do throughout the season of Advent, as he's called us to make straight the paths. We've sung throughout this last month, come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. So we've chanted, then cleansed be every heart from sin, make straight the way of God within, prepare we in our hearts a home, where such a mighty guest may come. We've announced to ourselves, to each other, and to God, that we need His mercy. And we want Him to come as the enduring guest of our souls, so that we might in turn find our rest in Him, to fulfill what He would talk about in the Last Supper, that God wanted to come and abide in us and have us abide in Him. And that can't happen except for His mercy in wanting to come to us when we're still sinners and our receiving that mercy and responding to it. Today we celebrate the fulfillment of that desire for Jesus' salvation, for his mercy that he has placed within our hearts. As we begin this Mass praying, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." And what did we say after? "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." The sweet little boy wrapped in swaddling clothes, being held tenderly by Joseph and Mary, is mercy mild, the incarnate reconciliation of God and sinners. We'll also greet him in the creches throughout the world. "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." Jesus indeed comes to cleanse us from the inside out and make us his holy dwelling place, his Bethlehem, his temple. He comes not merely to be born in the world, but to be reborn in each of us, lifting us through embracing him in his birth and what it signifies to true spiritual rebirth. So today, with the shepherds, the Magi, Mary and Joseph, we behold our rescuer. When we adore Christ in the Precipio or in the altar, we're worshiping the one who took on our nature so that he could take our place on death row, who loved us so much that he came to die so that we might live and live forever. For our soul to feel its worth, as we sing in O Holy Night, we have to grasp that God loved us so much that he himself came to deliver us. He didn't send a legion of archangels. He came personally, taking on all the weight of our nature to pay the price of our sins and liberate us from the enslavement and death to which they lead. There's no greater manifestation of who God is and what our dignity is in his eyes. And if that weren't enough, at the very same moment he's rescuing us, he's proposing to marry us. This is a love story greater than anything Hollywood has ever produced. And it's not a fable. It's the truth. Why did Jesus become a little boy? After all, by his power as God, he could have come as a grown man rather than take on our flesh as a precious one-cell embryo in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, going through all of the stages of growth and birth that each of us experiences. If he had come as an adult, he could have more quickly accomplished all that he had set out to do in saving and espousing us. But he might not have had the same results. The truth is that whether Jesus succeeds or not in his great mission depends on our response. Whether we're going to allow Jesus in his mercy to save us from our sins, whether we're going to allow him to remain with us as God with us by responding with a wholehearted, enthusiastic yes to his marriage proposal and enter into a covenant with him and be as faithful to that covenant as he is. And we know, sadly, that when Jesus came in time, many didn't have room to embrace him as God with us and Savior. The innkeepers were too occupied with other things. The scribes in the royal court were too corrupt even to investigate the wise men's story. Herod was too threatened and sought to kill the one who had come to die for him. Much later in life, many rejected Jesus, claiming he was working his miracles by the power of the devil, that his words were blasphemous, that even his teaching about the real presence in the Eucharist was too hard to endure. Some, like the rich young man, made excuses to wander away from his presence, and on Good Friday, many even cried out for him to be crucified. As Christians will hear later on this morning, the light came into the world, but many preferred darkness to light. He came into his own, but his own didn't receive him. For his mercy to be effectual, we've got to let it do its work. And that's why Jesus came as a little baby. Knowing the possibility of rejection, Jesus came as an infant out of mercy to make it as easy as possible to learn how to relate to him in his mercy mild. The patron saint of priests, St. John Vianney, preached in 19th century France that without a doubt the Son of God might have appeared upon earth as a grown man, but he didn't. He abased himself and lay in the crib as a helpless infant. Why? He asked. So as to make it as easy as possible to approach him. We all, he said, approach a child without fear, the high and the low, the learned and the unlearned, the rich and the poor. God's becoming a little baby allows us to go to the throne of his mercy with confidence. At the crib, all fear vanishes. Even the greatest criminal draws near to the child with assurance and confidence. What opens more easily than the hands of a little child? And in learning to relate to Jesus as a child, we see how it's not a real option for us to leave him on his own as we go our separate way. Like happened in the life of Mary and Joseph, when the angel appeared to them and announced that God would take on our flesh, their whole lives changed. And from that point forward, their entire existence would be centered on the God who would become part of their lives, part of their families. Jesus' birth is meant to have a similar impact on each of us and on our family. God the Father gives His Son to us like a little infant. And we can't just expose Him out to others. Like any family that has received a young infant, we've got to give that child the time. And that's why Jesus came helpless, to form us to become the good Samaritans He would later train us to be. Today is not about recalling with nostalgia a silent holy night 2 millennia ago, but about a very present reality. We need God's mercy just as much as those 2,000 years ago did. When Jesus comes to greet us, He comes not as God was with us, but as God is with us. He comes not as Yeshua, God saved, but as God saves. And it's here that we come to renew our marital promises with Him. Having been liberated, He calls us now to follow Him to freedom. In the passage that priests, deacons, and religious all across the world ponder today in the office of readings from St. Leo the Great, one of the most famous Christian passages of all time, this 5th century Pope and Doctor of the Church tells us, "Beloved, let us give thanks to God the Father, because in His great love for us He took pity on us. And when we were dead in our sin, He brought us to life in Christ, so that in Him we might become a new creation. Therefore, let us throw off our old nature and all its ways. As we have come to birth in Christ, let us renounce the works of the flesh. O Christian, remember your dignity. And now that you share in God's own nature, He who has become man so that we might share in His divinity, do not return by sin to your former condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's light." The fundamental gift of Christmas is not a certificate to a fine restaurant, but an invitation to a banquet in which Jesus gives Himself as our food. It's not a one-day pass to a spa or a gym, but a lifetime membership to a spiritual health club in which Jesus constantly wants to make us firmer and fitter in faith. It's not an all-expenses-paid vacation cruise, but a much more rewarding vocational adventure with all expenses paid by Jesus on the cross. Each of us is capable of receiving these gifts from mercy mild incarnate, because God will give us all the help we need to embrace Him. He's taken on our humanity so that we, through the forgiveness of our sins and through His help to live in a holy spousal covenant with Him, may take on His divine nature. This is the reason for the season. This is what we celebrate on this most holy of days. Today, God with us, God saves, is born for us. Let us make haste to go to Bethlehem and adore him in this way. And just like the shepherds at the end of today's gospel reading, let us be so transformed that we might go out like them, glorifying God and proclaiming this joy to the world. Christmas is foremost about God's mercy. Praise be Jesus Christ.